So, this Advent season, we're following the Christmas story, the journey to Bethlehem. And we look at it from a little bit different points of view each week. At least I have been. I don't know, we'll see what Pam does next week. So, we left Joseph and Mary on the road last week, as we were talking about the hope and the faith that they're walking in. Well, the good news is they made it to Bethlehem. And that was no small feat when you think about it. A, it was a long ways away. B, she was riding on the back of a donkey in her end of her third trimester. So that was a big chore for those guys as they're going along. And as you know, they got there, and there was the emperor had required a census of all of the tribes. And Joseph was with the tribe of David, and the tribe of David was housed in Bethlehem. And so off they go to Bethlehem. That's where they showed up. Everybody showed up. And I can imagine that these people have been, they've been all over the place. I mean, the tribe of David had broken up and moved all over the area. So I can imagine that it was a pretty raucous homecoming that was going on. And here comes this very pregnant woman and her husband and their donkey, and no place for them. So the innkeeper finally took pity and said, well, you can go back with the animals. So that was, that's a pretty interesting place to end up going. The scene in the Bible, however, and the scene that I carry in my head, and I would believe that you carry in your heads, is they're in this manger, but it is serene. It's peaceful. They got this heavenly light around them. The animals are all just hanging out, checking things out. Very quiet. I think the reality was different than that. Their reality, however, may very well have been there. And that's where the peace that passes understanding comes from. To be in the middle of chaos and be at peace. So anyway, they made it there. Oh, shoot, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold a second here. I got to step back a second. So while they're traveling and Mary's getting really close to having her baby, a couple other things are going on. First of all, there's these angels that showed up to these shepherds the night of the birth. And the shepherds are just hanging out, watching all the people coming to town, I'm sure. And pretty quiet and nothing going on much. As at night, sheep are pretty much done with their thing. And this angel shows up. It was Gabriel. Big light, big, huge light show. And Gabriel shows up, and of course the immortal words are, let me read this because everybody knows what they are. Be not afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all people. For a son is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And the shepherds are going like, whoa, city of David's just right down over the hill here. We can go down there and check this out. So they pack up and left the sheep and wander down. Same time, or similar time, there's these Magi, these wise men, to the east. Now, it's no coincidence that it came from the east. The east, in native traditions, in earth-based spirituality, is a place of the rising sun. That's where new beginnings come from. It's from the east. And it goes around and comes back to the north. But starts in the east. That's the place where birth has come, the birth of the day, the birth of the sun as it comes up to warm the planet, to grow the plants. It's the place where new ideas come from. So these guys are hanging out in the east. And they may have been Zoroastrians because they studied the stars. I don't know. But anyway, they saw this new light in the sky. And they were trying to figure it out. And they said, there's this prophecy that a king is going to come, going to be born to the Jews. maybe that's what this is about. And they all kind of concluded, yep, that's what it's about. Well, let's go find this king. So they wandered around following the star. They end up in Jerusalem. That would be a good place. It's the city of peace. That, you know, kind of, that was actually the headquarters of the whole region. So they figured, this is where the king was going to be born because this is where the king lives. Well, no, the king wasn't there. The interesting thing, and this goes, now you ladies, listen up here. These three guys on their camels asked for directions. So there's hope, yeah, for the rest of us. Anyway, they went and talked to the rabbis and the priests, and they were trying to figure it out, and they said, well, we think it's happening in Bethlehem. And King Herod, who was the ruler at the time, didn't think it was a good idea for another king to show up while he's still alive. And so he said, well, go check this out, and that's if it's really the king there, come back and let me know. He had a little different motivation, but regardless, they made it, but they followed this light, this star, and they end up in Bethlehem, and sure enough, now they end up in Bethlehem about kind of Epiphany, so it's like 2 weeks after the birth. So they were coming across from the east, working their way through, trying to figure out where this thing was, and all of a sudden, there it was, and of course they brought him gifts and did their worship and could feel the presence of this new being. The whole Christmas story is about, from my perspective, is the integration of heaven on earth, of the unseen with the seen, to bring those two things together, God incarnate on the planet. And if you think about it from a biblical standpoint, the nature of God changed on that night. We had always thought of God, and we, mankind, had pretty much put God on a cloud in the sky over there. And if we did the right thing, we were blessed. If we did the wrong thing, he'd smite us, shoot us with a bolt of lightning or something. 2,000 years ago, that perception changed. And the spark of that was the birth of Jesus. The spark of that grew into a ministry that said, no, God is not there or there or there. It's here. And it's everywhere at the same time. That was a big transition for humankind. So last week when I talked about the prophecy of Isaiah, well, we got to go back to Isaiah to get this next part of this. So Isaiah's prophecy said to the Jews, a child, a son to be born, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. And all the greatness of the governments and peace will have no end. The key, as I see it, and have worked in my life, is to growing that Christ presence, that nature of my spirit, the core of my being, and use that as a way to unlock the peace that comes from within. If I try to do it from the outside, I'm not very successful. But do it from the inside, it works better. Years ago, I went to Unity Village, and I know a number of you have heard the story, but I'm going to tell it anyways. So Unity Village is the headquarters of the Unity Movement. It's in Missouri, Lee Summit, Missouri. Beautiful, beautiful sacred grounds, 2,000 acres of it almost. And a lot of infrastructure, and it was a February day, and it looked a whole lot like it looks outside right now. It was gray, there was no leaves on the trees. We didn't have any lights either in February. It was just miserable in Missouri, and it can be miserable at that time of year in Missouri. So I'm all bundled up in my coat and wandered around the grounds, and there was like nobody. I saw maybe two people the whole time I was there. And I wandered all over the place, and I got so cold I needed to find some place for shelter. And the bookstore, which has a little coffee shop, that was closed. Nobody was around. It was just nobody was there. And then I found this little thing called the Peace Chapel, and it's got a dozen chairs in it, maybe. And it's a place where you can go in and meditate and just be. And it has a phone. You can call Silent Unity. And if you're having something going on, you want somebody to pray with you, you could do it right there in the Peace Chapel. It has a big, huge mural that says, "Peace, be still." So I sat in there on the second chair, second row back, looking at this thing and dealing with what was going on in my life. And it was a good half hour, 40 minutes that I was meditating and looking at this "peace be still." And I noticed that there's a comma after peace. I never knew that before. And it was that comma that said, "pause, peace, be still. Still your mind, take the pause, and peace will come." And I thought, whoa, that was a serious insight. And sure enough, when I think about peace, be still, I always put that comma in there. And it's worked for me. Of Course in Miracles says this, "The search for God is a lifetime endeavor. Fill your mind with meaningless stimuli of a world preoccupied with meaningless things. It will not be easy to find peace. Fill your mind with things of God, and peace will flow into you like water into the ground." So how do we get there? How do we do that? Paul wrote to the Philippians, so the book of Philippians is a letter of Paul, as Paul was trying to explain to them what he knew about this new way of being. And he says this, "Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, tell your requests to God." And here's the quote that we all know, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." The peace of God that passes all understanding. So how do we get there? How do we get to that place? Well, Paul says it's a three-step process. Step one, stop the cycle of anxiety. Don't be anxious about anything. When you worry, you end up spending more time putting more energy into worry. Doesn't make it go away. I'm not talking about making things go away. We're just talking about where are you going to put your energy and your thoughts. Thoughts of mind producing kind. If I worried about this, I can make it really, really big. It can consume all of my time. Or I can say, all right, I got to give this up so that I can produce my energy elsewhere. So he says, stop the cycle of anxiety. When we stop dwelling on the things that we are worried about and let them paralyze our minds and our hearts. So we got to stop that part. Number two, step two in the saying, is bring your worries to God and ask for help. So he says this, when you're anxious, you worry. And when you worry, you lose sight of the divine. And then you go and try to figure it out yourself. Spirit comes, cares about all that we do. And God's function. The universe's function is to provide us, how does he say it? Provide us the good graces to support us. This whole system that we get to experience is a conspiracy to uplift us closer and closer and closer to the realm of heaven, to be a bigger than we are in human form. And I don't know about you, but I've had circumstances where I've given things up to God because I had no place else to go. And in retrospect, as I look back to that whole process, I can see the hand of Spirit guiding me along the way. And it was not only miraculous, but it was almost rote. Quit the cycle of worry, break it somehow. Give it up to God. And then the third one is, be thankful for what God has given to you in all circumstances, in all ways. When I'm in the middle of it, I don't see the blessing that I'm, quite frankly. I gotta work on that one. But what I have is the faith that that blessing is there. And that through this experience, I'm gonna unlock it somehow. And when I come out the other side, I'm gonna be better off for it. So that's what Paul's trying to say there. Thank God for what is already done for you and what is going to be done through you. And if nothing else, just be thankful for air to breathe, the beauty of nature. Just find one thing. One of the practices that we've done here is a thing called a gratitude journal. We just write down three things in the morning what you're grateful for and three things at night what you're grateful for during that day. Or to write as many as more, but you gotta do at least three. And then after 30 days, see how big your journal becomes because of all the beauty. And that we just have to stop and smell the roses, so to speak. So again, from Philippians, we go back to this peace part. Now this is going to get us to the peace that surpasses understanding. He said, this is what Jesus said. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, but not as the world gives you. Let your heart be not troubled, nor let it be afraid. Jesus was talking about the peace, not the peace. As the reading was earlier, we talked about how different things made us joyful and gave us peace. But they were all transitory as we went through life stages. Well, the true peace within is not transitory. True peace can never be forged by steel or by things, but only by love. It is not Caesar on the chariot, but a humble babe in a manger who is the real peace, Prince of Peace. So that's step one of this talk. Step two is about the light of Christmas. In the Advent guide that was we received, it says, a Christmas of light and peace. Well, there's no mistake that light is the symbol of Christmas. It comes in many forms. A star is probably the most poignant one. Everybody knows about the star and the wise men following. The angels show up. They're all covered in light. The candles that are lit on Christmas always bring a nice glow of light. And it's all saying that the light of the world is with us. The light of life lives within us. In Isaiah, he said, he prophesied again. This is like 700 years, 500 years before the birth of Christ, 700 years in this making. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. This is the coming that he's thinking about. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, the light has dawned. For Micah, he said this, "Your word is a lamp at my feet and the light of my path." And the Course of Miracles says illumination, which they show express as the enlightenment within yourself. Illumination is the light of the mind, the word made flesh, the oneness of heaven and earth. Illumination is not of this world. It lifts us above the lies of the world by helping us detach from them. And then Jesus in his ministry says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life." Light for the angels, from the angels for the shepherds, light for the star, for the magi, and the light of life for us. And all we have to do is let our little light shine. So back to Bethlehem now. So here's this child born, laying in a manger, wrapped in strips of cloth, surrounded by his loved ones, his mother and his father, nestled by the animals, all hanging out, trying to figure out what's going on here. Admired by strangers and serenaded by a choir of angels. And it's no wonder that we sing Silent Night every Christmas Eve as we light our own personal candle, because we're symbolizing that light that was born some 2,000 years ago. If you'd like to join with us, we'll sing Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Shepherds quake at the sight.
All is calm, all is bright. The Son of God is love's pure light. I ask you to just close your eyes for a second. Can you see that soft light of a candle? Can you feel the peace of that moment? Can you sense the wonder and joy of that first night? Mary did. And it is said that she treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. May we all do the same. May there always be room in your heart for divinity to find a birthing place. May you be as holy as the angels, faithful as the shepherds, humble as the lambs, and wise as the magi. May you have the compassion of Mary, the understanding of Joseph, and may the blessing of the Christ child be not because of his birth long ago, but because his love is born in you during this season of love and light. And with that, the angels will sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men." And as Tiny Tim said, God bless us, everyone. Let us pray. Thank you, sweet, sweet Mother, Father, God, for this time to put a pause in our life and to feel and know your presence through the Christ within. We are bigger, better, and stronger for that knowledge. The peace we seek, seems to be beyond our understanding. How can we have a peaceful world? How can we have peace within our country, our community? And it's written on our hearts. Peace starts with me. My peace that comes from the divine is what is going to be the spark to do the rest, to create that peaceful world. So in this Lenten time, the coming, the advent of peace, let's each one of us find that place and be the one that shows up in peace. For all the blessings that come from your hand, we can say with great gratitude, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.